You're listening to 91.3 KXCI Tucson, and this is the Nonprofit Spotlight. This week, the Nonprofit Spotlight shines on Yolanda Seti, volunteer coordinator for the Homing Project. Thanks for joining us, Yolanda.
Well, thank you for having us.
What is your organization's mission?
The Homing Project is a place to create villages of transitional housing for people who are currently on the street so that they can get any kind of support that they need, and also job training, mental health services if they need that, so that eventually, we're thinking it'll take a person at least 2 to 3 years to be able to find permanent housing. So this is a place for people to come from being unhoused to being housed in a supportive place, and then eventually having a permanent place to live.
And how does your organization achieve that mission?
Well, mostly by volunteers and community support. All of our funding is private donations. I think at the very beginning, we got one fund from ARPA. After that, it's been private donations, writing grants. The other thing is that we're all volunteers. Every single person in this group is a volunteer. We have to pay for the engineer and the architect and any kind of legal services. And of course, now we're paying for the contractor. But everybody else, it's a whole volunteer story.
Please share highlights of one of your programs that help execute your mission.
When we first started looking for funds, it was to buy these little houses. Instead of buying land, Chris, our CEO, had the idea of getting developers to lend us land for 3 or 4 years so we wouldn't have to buy the land. With the caveat that when the developer was ready to build, we need to take everything that we have put on that land out. So these little houses are not permanent. You know, there's tiny homes. These have to be moved to the next site after 3 or 4 years. Everything has to be moved. The bathrooms, the kitchen, everything, the trees, everything has to go. So right now, we finally got to the place, thanks to the Southern Arizona Land Trust. They're one of the donors of the land. We just finally got the city permits after like 4 years of trying, because these little houses didn't fit any specific place. The good news is it seems like cities are beginning to understand that they're going to have to change their zoning to permit these things so that people aren't living on the street and they can live in a safe place. Because in order to make that jump from being on the street to having permanent housing, this really helps people with the support. They'll need support. We went to their neighborhood association meetings. We went and talked to neighbors. And most of them, for the most part, were very supportive. Because that's a big deal to have a village for unhoused people in a neighborhood. So now finally, we got money for the little houses. And a couple of weeks ago, we had about 40 volunteers come. And these are like modular little houses. They come flat packed. So we had volunteers to build them. And so the little houses are up. So the first village is on its way. It's going to be a small one. We're only going to have 10 residents to begin with. And then immediately apply for another 5. We did that because of the zoning. And so after this one is up and running, we're hoping that then we're going to start at the next village, which is going to be in South Tucson. And that'll be 50 to 100 people that we can serve there. And then we have another piece of land after that one on the far south side. As part of the village, we're going to have services for people to help them get well, physical health, mental health. If they have substance abuse problems, we'll hook them up with things for them. Volunteers will be teaching financial literacy. The people that are coming to us, people ask, how are you going to choose? The city has a list already of unhoused people that have been through the, what I call the ropes of signing in and saying that they really want housing and they're the most vulnerable. So we're going to give the city the parameters of what we're looking for. This first village is going to be for people who have survived any kind of domestic violence and are between the ages of 18 to 25 and 50 and over, because they're the most vulnerable people. So we'll tell the city, and the city will go to the top of the list and give us names that fit those criteria. The deal is that on our dime, we raise money to do the infrastructure for the developer that's going to come in, because everything that we did to plan to the village has to match. Like this particular property, they already have plans for 12 affordable housing units. So are the sewer and all that kind of stuff that I don't really understand has to match their project. The other thing is that whoever lends us the land is committed to having affordable housing built there and not put a Starbucks or something on the land.
You know, I was also impressed to hear that the neighborhood was supportive.
Most of the neighborhood, it's a big jump, you know. That neighborhood already has a respite house, Poverello House. So the neighborhood knew, and the neighborhood's really committed to doing something positive for people who are unhoused. They've come by now that we're there. We explained the project. We're very interested in how the security is going to work. And so we've been very conscious about only the residents that live in that community are going to be allowed in. We're going to have a reception. I hate to call it a gatehouse, but it's going to be a reception place. It's really going to be a security place. And we'll have 24-hour security. And volunteers, of course, are also going to be allowed in. We negotiated with the neighborhood. And so in the front of the village, it's a small lot, but in the front of where the 15 houses are, we'll have a community garden. Because our intent is for people not to just be plopped in there and be isolated, but become part of the community. And we're very careful not to make it feel like you're fenced in.
I'm really excited because now, you know, you get to demonstrate it to people.
It's been like, just believe us, we're going to do it. Now I think it'll be like a pilot. And it takes a lot of money. The operating, just the building itself takes a lot of money. And we're really looking for money now to keep it going now that we've got the land and the houses. A lot of people still don't know about the Homie Project. And since we live and breathe it, you think everybody knows. And everyone you speak to, everybody wants to help in some way. So not just with money, but with talent. I mean, all our volunteers, we have a volunteer bookkeeper, we have volunteer IT people, we have volunteer everything. I mean, labor. And now that the village is going to be open, there's going to be a whole lot of other support volunteer things to do.
That's really exciting. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there in Tucson who want to help with the affordable housing crisis.
Yeah, yesterday I was working with 7 or 8 volunteers that we were sewing curtains for little houses, right? Because there was a quilting group and they wanted to help. And I said, you guys can sew. So we made 60 curtains yesterday. It was amazing. And that's the kind of, you know, heart. You feel so good doing something other than just giving somebody a dollar or a bottle of water on the corner or trying not to look at them, you know, because you feel so terrible. So everyone that volunteers feels good that they're doing something.
Please share highlights of one of your programs that help execute your mission.
We're very careful to have the sites that we chose to be on a bus line. A lot of people have land on the outskirts of town, but the idea is that these people are going to be able to get to places. And so it has to be urban. And that's one of the big criteria when we look for land.
So how can people find out more about the Homing Project?
They could go to our website, which is a work in progress. And on the website, you can donate. And like all of us here are selling raffle tickets, you know, on the website. But you can learn more about it. You can learn more about us and keep track. And then we have a newsletter that goes out once a month that keeps people updated. We have actually a link where you can press on volunteer. And we just got the software to get people to be able to volunteer through there.
So go to the website. You'll be able to sign up to volunteer and get the newsletter.
And donate money.
And donate. Very important. Yeah, to keep this going.
And it's really hard to go out there and ask for money. But what we do is we have one model little home that's on a trailer. We take it to different places like Cyclovia or the churches. And because once you see the house, you know, then you understand what it's about. It's hard to explain because they're like bedrooms because they have air conditioning, heating, lighting, electrical. But the kitchen's going to be communal. The bathrooms, we just got the bathroom unit. It's beautiful. It's better than mine. But anyway, there's bathrooms and showers, and it's ADA responsive. One thing we're very conscious about is the community and not working like in silos. We're all working together. Primavera had a wonderful meeting the other day with all the players trying to help unhoused people. And it's a huge problem. This is a little tiny drop in the bucket, but we got to work it all together.
And the drops all add up over time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You just heard a conversation with Yolanda Sethi, board member for the Homing Project. Support for Nonprofit Spotlight is provided by the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, dedicated to creating an equitable and vibrant community for all Southern Arizonans by connecting donors to the causes they care about. Since 1980, the foundation has awarded over $245 million in grants and scholarships to the community. Learn more at cfsaz.org.